Welcome in, everyone. RFK Refugees Podcast. Ted here, John here. Jumping right back into it. DC United coverage here on your favorite two podcasters covering DC, right? We're your favorites, right?
You better be. You better be that.
John, my friend, good to see you. Hope you had a good last week. Hope you had a good weekend as well. I understand you did some baseball.
I did some baseball. We won 9-8. There was lots of yelling. There were multiple almost fights, but I'm the new coach of the team. I took over because the previous coach got in fights with his own teammates, and I was like, that's not fun. This time there were almost fights with the other team, but that was okay. And we won 9-8 with the tying run on third. It was a great game. You don't like baseball, but if you watch this, you'd have been like, this was mildly entertaining. This was funny.
The only thing I know is apparently like Angel Hernandez is like not a good umpire. So that's the only thing.
This umpire was about as good as this as Angel Hernandez. It was about that kind of situation. But it was fun to get out there and play again. Fun to my friend Nick, who I played with in the past, is out there with me now. The guy that I played with, Patrick, from 10 years ago, from the first team I started when I was living in Alexandria, was on the team. So it's wild. Everyone's old. It's fun. What about you? You did a lot of refereeing.
Yeah,
right?
Saturday was a big referee day. Three games, two different areas. I had to drive 30 minutes apart because there's a lot you have to drive out here. So
sure.
One was on a pretty midfield at a YMCA out in Bedford County, and other ones in the main sort of soccer clubs complex, a little bit better field, but yeah. So it's awesome. I'd say the soccer I was watching or refereeing the first two games wasn't that great. The last game was a little bit better. Nelson County apparently had some ballers, so some good players out there. So fun times all around. Something I enjoy. And I'm going to kill myself this week doing like four high school games, though I might get a break with some storms rolling in the area. So
Ted's ready. Ted's preparing. USL Championship is going to need some new referees in one of these days.
Maybe.
Lynchburg's going to expand. You're going to be the only referee that refuses to travel, and you'll just be like the local Lynchburg-Richmond ref. Like, if it's in this range, I will come.
Hey, man, apparently Roanoke might get a USL League One team, so we shall.
There we go. It's kismet.
We shall see.
How far away is that for you?
That's an hour away.
That would be like me going to DC. Yeah. So I think you should become credentialed and cover this team. That's what I think.
Well, they don't exist yet. I think there was some like I saw there was like a document or something that they like some person's hired somebody to look into getting a team, but
okay. So quite a bit away, you're saying.
Yeah, quite a bit away.
Fair enough. All right. Two things before we get started. One, I want to thank all of our Patreons who keep joining over the course of the season. It's been really great. Patreon.com/RFKRefugees. We are doing a lot of stuff. We had two exclusive podcasts last week, which you will have heard snippets of if you are a non-Patreon subscriber, a regular podcast subscriber, who we also love you too. But that is going to be the way it's going to be. From now on, we're going to do those episodes. They're going to be solely the domain of our Patreons. So if you want to join at the $5 tier or up, you can get that. And also, you know, Ted to a greater degree than I, have been writing up a storm so far this season. I think we're trying to figure out what the best plan forward for that is, but make sure you join us on Patreon. Even if you're not ready to become a paying member, you can become a free member so you can see what's going on and see what kind of stuff you might want to get into. So I recommend that.
Yeah,
and the second thing, I've been slacking on my music recommendations for you. And this is a record that came in for me today. This is Kurong Bin. This is their new album, Ala Sala. It's really good. I recommend you check it out. And since it was just here, I figured, hey, I'm going to grab it. And I got another record coming next week, which I will also work.
Yeah. And just
back to soccer.
And just to give a little bit of, I want to give to the people. So you can join as a free member. You can still access, we're still going to put some written work out there for free. You know, obviously you'll get the main Monday show will still be free. That's not changing. We're not going to put that behind a paywall. If you want to get access, if you like our, you know, you like to read our little post game blips that we do for both the Spirit and DC United, those will be available at the $1 level the night of the match. So the night of the match, we're going to write something up. We'll try to do that every game. Obviously, we are doing this as a labor of love. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but you can still access it for free the next morning, usually probably around 8 or 9 a.m. whenever we decide to release that. But just wanted to get that out there. You don't have to commit to the $5 level. If you just want to throw us a little bit, like a dollar, you can still read some of that post game stuff. So
you will, however, be locked outside of the exclusive second podcast of the week window. We'll be that whatever the, you'll be the Eric Andre meme shaking the gates trying to get in, but that's, you'll see it, and that's fine. Yeah, that's enough. So that's enough vlogging, I think. But this show will always be free.
Yes.
The Monday show will always be the one that you can listen to without paying us any money.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the longest one, invariably.
Invariably. All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about DC United. DC United going down to Columbus, getting a 1-0 1-1 draw against the Columbus Crew. Almost said victory.
Felt like it would have been a victory.
Would have been really nice if it had been a victory. We'll talk about it a little bit. Overall, John, let's start with. I feel like if you had told me at the beginning of the season DC was going to go into Columbus, they were going to get a 1-1 draw, I would have said, wow, that's amazing. What an amazing result. I bet. Yes. Here's how I thought it would have gone down. Like we were just being overrun. We managed to like hold on to it. Maybe we get like a sneaky goal in like, you know, the first half or middle of the first half. But basically we are being overrun the entire game. And then suddenly Columbus comes in and maybe sneaks one in at the end to kind of draw it. But, you know, you're still feeling positive. You went on the road. You got a result. That's not what happened in this game. DC were the better side in this game. And, you know, yes, I know Columbus had Champions League. They've got other sort of avenues to talk about. But their best player, Cucho Hernandez, was back. He had not played for 2 weeks, so he was invariably fresh. A fresh player for them. I really didn't get a chance to take a too close to look at their lineup. Obviously, Cucho was the big story. So, Aiden Morris, of course, going a full 90. We'll talk about him in a minute because he got the red card. But like overall, like this was like pretty much a first choice Columbus lineup. They went out and they wanted to play, and you know they play a style that is, you know, slow building, passing, patient. So they can, you know, they can maybe afford to push numbers a little bit. So. This was still not an easy match, and DC came up ready for the fight, ready for the challenge. And I thought, you know, I neglect to call it maybe our best game of the year, but certainly just from the nature of which we came into this game and just kind of dictated the play the way we did on the road, I think is something very impressive and very impressive moving forward.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that is all. That is true. The first 45 minutes, you tweeted basically a graph that said that Troy Lesane had done a masterclass basically on the road. Everything went right that could have gone right from a tactical perspective. We talked about, you said, yes, at the beginning of the year, if you had told me that we had drawn on the road, I'd have been happy. At the end of this game, I'm still happy, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. I understand it's 2 points lost. The weird part would have been if we had won this game, we would have been over Columbus on points so far in the season. So, you know, should that be the case? Is that like a fair justification of like the totality of the seasons and the talent so far? I don't know. I think that this team continues to not be where it's going to be from a roster perspective. We talk about it every single week and we won't stop until there are multiple transfer windows that we can examine and sort of, you know, judge things. But this team continues to get points in its not fully constructed way, with all of this money on the bench and all of this wastefulness, at the forward and at, you know, on the field, chances that should be converted that are not, and we're still able to get where we are. XG still, and it's among the top of the league. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it might not, if it's still not first, but it's in the top. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about how things went wrong in the very few minutes that they did, but I'm still happy with where things are so far this season. You know, we're in the mix, and that's the best we could hope for. And any given week, I think this is a quote in the post game. Troy was basically like, "Teams don't want to play us. They don't want to mess with us. They do not want to see us come to town. They don't want to come to DC." And that again, last year, not a thing. No. that was circle 3 points on every team's schedule, and now it's not that anymore. And it hasn't even been, you know. If you look at the roster moves in the offseason, it shouldn't have, if you just look at it in a pure in and out perspective and like the vibe shift and the reputational shift from last year to this year, it shouldn't be as big of it is, but it's that. And I think it's the Troy Lesane factor. I think it is that. I think it is about belief and about vibes and about, you know, expectations. And it's all manifesting here very quickly. It could all go bad. Mm-hmm. We could have one injury at a couple positions and we are in the toilet. But right now, you know, ride it.
Yeah, I mean, and let's talk. I want to talk first about the lineup shift, because I'm going to go ahead and give myself a little bit of credit. I did my little match preview, which you can read on patreon.com/RFKRefugees. I think I also posted on the website somewhere. But I kind of said, you know, the big takeaway from the Montreal game was that DC went out in a 4-3-3. You know, there was a lot of questions about what the lineup was. This time I said, you know, I wonder if they'll try the same thing again, because I feel like, you know, you want to, you know, and we talked about also on our, in sort of a 3-4-2-1 that that Columbus are going to play, you're going to want to hit them wide and also hit them, you know, up the center as well. We talked about the center backs apparently, you know, not being a strong suit, that was hinted on by one of our, by Ty Fisher, who came on. He said, you know, hey, the center backs are kind of a weak point there. That's maybe where they're not as strong. And so we saw that 4-3-3 again, this time with Hopkins replacing Matty Peltola, which was an interesting move, I thought. Basically having no true number six there. Hopkins is very much an 8/winger. Click is definitely an 8 that can play it. And Tecu Dipietro is absolutely an attacker. Herrera getting a start on the right. McVay, Bartlett center, and of course Connor Antley at left, who I thought had another excellent game. He continues to be like a guy we kind of thought, like we've had so many USL signings in the past that have done nothing.
Dane Kelly.
Yeah, Dane Kelly.
Greg Janecki.
Tons of guys.
Deshaun Brown.
Tons of guys you can name that have just done nothing. Oh, goodness gracious. Who was the guy from Vancouver / and then we like signed, I forget his name.
Eric
Hurtado, yes. That, like, all these signings.
I could go on all day about the failed USL. I want to read somebody's tweet about Connor Antley that I think deserves some. From Carlos Pablo, who is a guy I met one time when I was at was in the good expensive seats. He's got season tickets over there. So Carlos, a good friend to have. Carlos, you promised to send me tickets sometime, so I remembered that. Last thing I'd like to give my guy Connor Antley his flowers. He's from USL with a minimal transfer fee. Half of the Eagle Bank season ticket holders could have paid for in cash. Moved his family and came to DC on a base salary. Most parking spots in DC go for. Absolute baller.
Yeah.
I just thought it is true. Like, the expectations and the output are misaligned. And to the extent that I hope if we get through this full season and he performs to that level, that his agent is like, hey, you know, I think we should talk about maybe some improved terms. As a guy you did not expect to be your every game starter or almost every game starter.
And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, Ali Mackay. And I read about this kind of, you know, Troy Sanders kind of taken now the front and center approach for now. You know, he's getting a lot of credit for putting the pieces together that make this team successful. But I look at a signing like Connor Antley and I'm like, how long has it been since we've had this type of performance out of our front office where they have literally, you know, we're used to these guys coming in and not, you know, not really being successful, you know, and we're missing more than we hit. Maybe we get a hit that almost feels like an accident on a player. And this feels like there was a genuine plan in place. There was actual talent, good talent evaluation that was done, good scouting that was done. And they brought in, you know, they've brought in talent. And I think Connor Antley exemplifies that. His ascendancy has almost made me, and we'll get into a question a little bit about, you know, what does the team look to do this summer? We talked about left back being a potential issue. And I still think, you know,
it is,
you need to solve it, but I'm not sure based on what this season is, if signing a left back prevents you from making like another signing, you know, in the attack to bring in a reputable name, I'm maybe leaning towards, hey, you know what? We'll just kind of let this ride a little bit. You know, there's no literal, the expectations for the season have already like approaching like Eclipse /Met/ level at this point. There's direction, there's identity, all the things we wanted out of this team are starting to come together. So, but let's talk
Enclave. Go ahead. Enclave here, who's watching live. Thank you for those of you who joined the live show on Twitch now, Monday night at 8:30. Said this, I want to bring this up because he didn't make the starting lineup. Do you guys think Pirani has a place or spot on the DC roster? I think it says long term. I can't tell. It's kind of cut off on my screen. We talked about last week, is his move to the bench a formational move or a judgment about sort of his impact on the team? It's kind of jumping a little bit to second half performance, but I don't think he did not quite have the same spark in this game that he did in the Montreal game.
Yeah.
What did you see for him?
Not a whole lot. I didn't see anything that really said to me that he was, you know, he was a player who, you know, who really sort of came in and changed the game. I think the 4-3-3 has been an interesting shift to this team. I will be very curious. We got Orlando coming up next weekend. They are a team that is struggling immensely. I will be very curious if this team rolls out the 4-3-3 again, if they roll out either Petzola or Hopkins in there, then I think we can start to say, oh, this is like we're going full throttle into this change. Like this is an actual, like, this is now our identity. We've shifted from, you know, a 4-2-3 team that can sometimes 4-2-3-1 team that can sometimes play a 3-5-2 to now fully on 4-3-3, you know, here we go. And I'll get into, you know, I think it's potentially hurting one player that I would like to see maybe move a little bit higher up the field. But yeah,
if we beat Orlando, Troy should point at Oscar Pareja and like do like a thumb across the and be like,
he's too nice.
I'm your man now.
He's too nice for that, man. He's too nice for that.
He should tag me in. I'll pretend to be him and then I'll do that for
but,
him.
But
I'll be the heel turn.
But of the players who kind of, and you know, let's, I want to conclude maybe my analysis at the back line. Christopher McVay, I think I gave him the player spotlight. He had the man of the match for me. The shot map, in my opinion, tells the story of what DC did in this game that was so effective. And the biggest thing they did was frustrate Cucho, not allow. There was maybe one moment where I think Rossi sort of got behind the defense and was sort of one-on-one with Bono. Other than that, there was nothing really much in the 18 that really developed for Columbus. DC did an exceptional job keeping them pinned back and keeping them, you know, yes, they're going to pass, they're going to move. Possession stats are, I think, 60-70% for Columbus. But, you know, possession is one of the biggest misleading stats in soccer, and it's a stat I hate because people on the Discord were like, oh man, we got dominated. Look at the possession. I'm like, look at the XG. Look at what we did, who did with what with their possession. Look at the shot map and where.
We wanted them to have the ball. Yeah. That's why if it's 70-30, unless you're losing 5-0, that's intentional typically.
Oh yeah. It was completely intentional. The team absolutely dictated the game. They dictated the chances. The struggles for this team, I am not mad about the goal they gave up to Aiden Morris. I'm not. Maybe.
I'm a little bit mad.
You're disappointed because you are up a man.
Yes.
We'll get into your, what about that goal, I guess, makes you perturbed? Because I'm maybe less perturbed about it than you are.
It's a worldly. It seems like there was lack of, some people are saying in the chat, lack of hustle or laziness. I think it was just a failure to react for a second and sort of not understanding the seriousness, a potential seriousness of the opportunity. Because that's all they were going to get, right? They were getting long shots. And there were two players. It was Click and Petzola, right?
Yeah.
Petzola, yeah. And neither of them really made a move for the ball. I don't begrudge them necessarily for not having the spring at that point in the game, but I would hope, I mean, literally it's one more sprint that would have changed this game. I don't think they would have got another chance, and that was even kind of a half chance. I'm not even sure how many XG that goal was.
0.04.
I would assume
0.04
like
according to football.
0.04? 0.04, is that what you said? Okay, wow. Okay, yeah. Literally just, you know, some sort of Mr. President's Secret Service style blocking there would have been magical. You didn't know it was going to go in. Obviously, it was unlikely, but I'm just slight. I don't care about the result. I'm just mad that that's kind of the way it happened. Like it just like you could physically see something that could have been done. That wasn't.
I am more upset with this team's inability to, if they found a second goal in this game, then the Aiden Morris, and I don't. Maybe they, you know, 2-0 becomes 2-1. Maybe they make a comeback. The red card to, and everybody's saying, well, they were down to 10 men. So we gave up a goal to 10 men. I say, true. I'm not going to sit here and deny.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a good thing to do that. I will argue that red cards, I always feel like, you know, what that first red card, to me, it always matters. Where is that red card happening on the field? In the case of the DC Columbus game, all it really did was sort of negate Columbus from really, they had to get Rossi or somebody else to sort of be that finisher inside the box, and not having Cucho there sort of removed a threat. It doesn't change the overall shape of the team or the structure of the team necessarily, because Cucho is the one who's going to be on the end of those shots. And it really, you know, forces them into a goal like Aiden Morse, which is, you know, again, an incredible shot. DC is going to sit back. They're going to play hard to play against. And they really force Aiden Morse into that type of shot, which in general, that's kind of what you want to do. They stepped, I thought, when they, you know, they, I thought they stepped enough to make it semi-difficult. I think it's a little more on the unfortunate side than anything. I am more sort of, I think the general part of the frustration of this team right now is, again, they had an XG, according to this foot mob, so different stats are going to have different numbers, but 2.05 XG was their final number. This team's lack of conversion on the XG continues to be sort of the main storyline here. And, you know, it's a reflection of I think, the talent that's out there right now. And maybe we'll get that into a little bit, but, you know, you look at sort of the attack minded players, and, you know, Click is certainly a part of that, but I think he's more of a facilitator. Hopkins was definitely playing a little bit deeper, but it's Ted Cudipietro, Jared Stroud, Dahomey, and Christian Benteke. You remove Christian Benteke from that. He has five, six goals so far this year. He's doing great. He's doing exactly what he needs to do. I think he will. I think he has the chance to potentially eclipse his goal scoring from last season. I think the bigger storyline is you have Stroud, Dahomey, or Teku DiPietro have not picked up that slack. Now, Teku DiPietro, I think, is a little bit of a victim of the fact that he is playing further. He has to play further back because he's in the midfield now. He's not an attacker. I think the formational shift has caused him to suffer a little bit, where he's not as close to a guy like Benteke. He's not able to get those run-ons from Benteke. He's not able to find himself in the box too much. So then it really becomes up to Jared Stroud or Christian Dahomey. Stroud can do it on occasion. We've seen him hit a nice goal against Miami, but he's not going to do that consistently. Dahomey is the situation. I think if you are Ali Mackay, you look at the way this team is set up. You have those two U22 initiative slots coming up. You know, if you can move a player on, you can move a player on like a Rodriguez, like a, you know, even a left back in, or maybe even move on from Dahomey as well. I wouldn't put that out of the question. I don't think you can get sort of an elite type winger in that U22 slot who can maybe, you know, chip in 4, 5, 6 goals. Then maybe you can start to have something. And then maybe that also leaves, you know, Teku DiPietro open to where he can score more goals as well. So that to me is the biggest, if you want to talk issues about DC, that is a bigger issue to me and sort of a reflection of this game. So
did you know by the way, last year, I believe Christian Benteke had 14 goals. Mm-hmm. You think he'll do more than that this year? He's at five right now.
He's at five. I mean, we're not even, 6, 7 games. I think he can. Stays healthy? Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Did you know he's only won the league once in his entire career? And that was in his 17-year-old season at Standard Liège.
In Belgium?
Yeah. Just now that I'm here. And also, similar players is not friendly to Christian Benteke, with players none of you have ever heard of as comparisons. Maybe at this, I don't know. It's you're in Serie B. Wiesbaden is Bundesliga 2, right?
Yes.
So it's not so. Foot mob does not love him. He does not convert. He does not convert as many as he creates. The thing is that his skill set. I still think if you could pair him with a non-suspended all the time for potential hate crimes on the field second striker, you've got the business, because if you have someone that can read how he plays the balls down, then he becomes a 25 goal and assist contribution player, because someone is able to pick up on those opportunities.
And that's why I look at that, you know, either that left or right wing spot, either Jared Stroud. Jared Stroud, I think, had a strong start. His crosses have become a little bit suspect as of late. He's hit a couple where he rushes it or he overhits it. So, you know, maybe I'll be curious to see if he can sort of rein that in.
It's certainly a place you could improve. I think if he becomes a player that's a bench or a rotational player, then you're really cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what we thought he would be, honestly. And that's what we kind of hoped he would be.
You know, and I think we also hoped, you know, I think really the one player who could potentially step up and be that player is Tecu DiPietro. I mean, he's the one who still, you know, Stroud's, you know, he is who he is right now. Dahomey is who he is right now. The player, you know, and that was part of my preview piece was, you know, what is his ceiling? I would argue right now Tecu DiPietro is still kind of at the same level he ended last year. He's pretty good, yep, MLS player. We haven't seen him sort of take that next step. Now, I think the past couple of games, I think it's been due to where he's been on the field. So I want to see, you know, if they move maybe against a team that's struggling like Orlando, they shift back to the 4-2-3-1. He then is able to, because there's that defensive cover, he's able to get closer to goal, you know, or maybe the adjustment works on him. I don't know. That's something I'll be watching over these next few games. If he can develop into that secondary scorer and then you add another piece to that, then you're really cooking very, very, very quickly. So, What were your thoughts, Jackson Hopkins subbing in for Matty Petzola?
He almost hit the post. He still hasn't scored a goal yet for DC United, so that was the closest he had come. I still don't know. I think that his physicality is kind of impressive. He has the physicality that Pelto does not have, but he does not have the game reading skills or the sort of vision that he has. I mean, that's not a surprise just based on the way the players are. I just love that he's getting minutes. Mm-hmm. I still don't think that. I think this is sort of not. You know, it's not the seal. I'm not happy about this sort of being where he ends up being sort of a rotational six option when he is certainly, I think, has more offense to his game. But I think he did fine. Yeah. I think he did pretty well. I think it's particularly with still an uncertain future around Russell Canales. I think it's smart for Lassane to have some internal options that he's gotten minutes and feels comfortable with. This would have been Jeremy Gray's opportunity to like exist, but he's doing El Paso stuff now. So
yeah, here are some of his defensive actions. You know, and I think, you know, 3 of 7 ground duels won. It's not bad, but not great. He won one half of his tackles. He has 4 recoveries, 2 dribble passed. I think his movement on the ball is still pretty good. And I think his ability to kind of maybe move it into the final third is pretty good. He had a 0.44 plus expected goals plus expected assists. So
it's that hitting that post was probably a good help with,
yeah,
that,
I would assume. Yeah, maybe getting to that. Interesting, you know, I kind of asked Troy Lassane. I was kind of curious because I you know, I think Matty Petzola had a couple moments against Montreal. I think he got kind of, you know, dispossessed pretty easily. I think still, yep, I think there is an adjustment period that comes with MLS. You know, a lot of leagues will maybe let you have that space. You know, the forwards will kind of sit there and kind of just try to catch balls on the break. A lot of teams like to press and they'll look at opportunities, you know, to try to win the ball back. So I think that's an adjustment thing he has to have. You know, he comes in off the bench and the goal starts from him pressing, you know, from the midfield, winning the ball and then playing it out to, I think it was DeSantos who crossed it in, a little bit of a long cross that I think finds Herrera, who then hits it off.
It was a cross to Benteke. Benteke flicks it on to nobody. It goes to Herrera. Mm-hmm. Herrera crosses it, smacks Jared Stroud in the arm, deflects to Benteke. Benteke puts it in.
Yeah, just kind of a make your own luck type of goal. So
yeah, that's right. Just whack it real hard.
but no, I mean, he still starts that play and still allows to give the press. I still think he has been impressive to start. I just think it's going to. So, you know, I was kind of curious, and it seemed it was more like, you know, Troy Lassane trying to reward Jackson Hopkins for what he's put in on the field. And, you know, also maybe, you know, sending a message to Matty Petzola being like, hey, you know, your positions, you know, you're the young designated player here. You're one of the higher paid players. You got to act like it. You know, we expect a lot from you. So I'll be curious to see. Orlando will be a curious game as to whether we see Jackson Hopkins again or we see Matty Petzola step in.
You said you asked about this in the post game. What was the nature of just like why Jackson or what was the?
It was just more like, you know, why, you know, why Jackson over Matty. You know, what was the, you know, that was a surprising. It was surprising to me. I didn't think Matty deserved to be on the bench. You know, I don't like Jackson Hopkins as a number six. I think we talked about. It was just a surprising move, and so I asked, you know, what was the thought process behind, you know, Jackson Hopkins over Matty, and you know, Troy Lassane said Jackson had performed well and he felt like it seemed to be more like he was rewarding Jackson and, you know, also maybe sending, you know, a little bit, you know, hey, we need a little bit more from you, Matty. So I don't think it, you know, sends that, you know, Matty Petal is losing trust right now. I don't think Matty Petal is losing trust with Troy Lesane, but I think it was kind of like a, and I think he then gave Matty credit. He said he came off the bench and he helped contribute to the first goal. So,
yep. You should make it your shtick to ask about like players that have been sent to the doghouse. So next week, I'll ask about Pirani. Like just wondering, is it intentional that Pirani no longer starts games? I'm just curious.
Maybe that can be certainly when I can make it.
I had to ask
press conference.
We were paper rock scissorings at the last beer game to ask about the error on the scorecard. And I talked to somebody. She's like, oh, of course I'll ask. I mean, of course it's my job. And I was like, okay. And then the press conference happened, and we were about 20 questions in with Adrian Gonzalez before somebody finally asked about it. I was like, yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure you were eager to do it too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Everyone wants to, hey, why'd you screw up? What happened?
Hey, there? Who made a boo-boo?
What happened to something that's only happened twice at all at FC
at Audi Field?
any other things you want to talk about in this game or any other moments?
Nope, I'm just happy. I'm happy we are where we're standing now. We're coming, like you said, going into a game with a team that is not operating as well as they would have hoped to have at the start of the season. DC United are 0-4 on the road, which is amazing. Amazing. If one of those can, I mean, just goodness.
Yeah. Goodness. We're undefeated on the road, but also winless.
We are undefeated on the road. That's like what St. Louis would say. Yeah. St. Louis has a similar record. They're like, yeah, we haven't lost. It's true.
Yeah. So,
do you think? We didn't talk about the red card really on Cucho. Was that genius? Was that a genius move on McVay to sort of egg it on? I did see a look in his eyes as he was getting stomped and he was falling. He was sort of like he fell and fine, and then he was like, oh. This is I should potentially make sure they know that this was something to look at on the video because it wasn't. I mean, it was, if you look at it on a video, it was a red card.
Yeah, it was 100%. You can't do that. You can't kick out like that.
You cannot.
I think it just speaks to what McVay did all game. I think it was almost a just reward for how he played Cucho and really gave him nothing. I think I looked at the stats. I'll have to go find it. I think I looked at like the expected goals for Cucho in that game was like 0.07. Jackson Hopkins had a better expected goals metric according to FootMob.
I no longer bet, but that would have been a good one. That would have figuring out how to bet on that would have been good.
You got to pretend, which I mean, I don't know if some other data might have given him a little bit more, but
I don't care.
I think that speaks to what DC did in this game against him. He got nothing. He had nothing going. It was a frustrating thing for him. And when you frustrate him, and when you frustrate him to the point where, you know, he also wants to come back and score goals because he's been out for 2 weeks. So I think it was kind of a culmination of everything and just led it to that incident. McVay milks it a little bit. I don't think it's anything excessive. You know, he certainly wants to make sure the referee sees it. But it's clear red in any state. And it's unfortunate DC couldn't see out the win. I think this would have been a bigger win if they had managed to do that. But
I think it might have been one of those season. I think it would have been a win that we're talking about at the end of the season had we gone into the Columbus and stole the full 3 points. And I think this will probably fade into history as a 1-1 draw on the road with that red card. But still, we're on the move. We're moving ahead.
It could be the beginning of the end for Cucho Hernandez at Columbus.
Based on what he did, I would, if that's the case, if we could find out what the reason he missed those two games, I think of a couple teams that would want to take a look.
I think it's pretty much come out. It was due to his reaction to being subbed out. So it's nothing beyond that.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Hey, Cucho, we can fix those vibes, man. we can figure it out. No problem, man.
All right.
We can make that happen. So after Orlando at home, we've got New York City on the road and Seattle at home. Mm-hmm. We always do this game. We say, how many points are you expecting out of the month? That's what's left for April. So
I mean, I think
we thinking
seven points. Win against Seattle. Seattle struggled this year. I think their overall
City's
metrics
4-2.
Overall metrics have been pretty good, but you know, Western Conference team having to travel cross country playing on the road. Seattle has never played well when they've come here. We've always managed to.
We have more wins than both of these, than both New York City and Seattle. This world?
Wow, John does not read all my monthly review piece that I wrote, where I literally said the combined win total of the teams. I guess it's. I think it's jumped up. I think Seattle beat Montreal like 5-0 at home. So they like stomped them.
Who doesn't beat Montreal though at home? We certainly
but do. But yeah, but basically, you know, these teams have combined now for like 3 wins or something like that. They're struggling. Orlando and New York City especially are really struggling. Orlando has gotten like regressed massively as a team. They are not looking good. New York City, I think, is still like they should be better, but they're, you know, also there's questions about their coach. They've had some difficulties. So again, also, I mean, I will say like if there's one place that's kryptonite for DC United, it's Yankee Stadium. So our only win on the road against New York City came at Red Bull Arena. I am very positive of that. I'm very positive of that. Of that idea. So
since Ted wants to drag me here for filth, did you listen to my interview with Anna Helferty on the Patreon feed last week?
Of course. You want to summarize it?
Yeah. He listened to the 30-second blurb that was on the main feed perhaps, but yeah, listen, we make so much content we can't even consume it. That's a positive, I think we could say. But anyway, I think 7 points sounds good. I think 7 points sounds good. We'll I'll be happy with that. Yeah. Where would that put us? I feel like that we're definitely higher in the table than we are now. We're probably in top six.
I wouldn't put it past, honestly. You know, I wouldn't put it past, 7 points is me. Win your 2 home games. I think we're, you know, right now, I mean, I think this is what we've learned about this team. Right now, I'm like, you know what? After this Columbus game, we can beat anybody. We can play anybody. We can match toe-to-toe with anybody. Home games now, you know, regardless of opponent, I'm thinking win. You know, Columbus, Columbus comes back. I'm thinking win. I think this is a team that expectations are starting to come back for me, and I'm starting to expect wins at home.
We've got good news for you here. That New York City game is not a
Yankee Stadium. At Red Bull Arena? I should have looked.
It's at City Field. It's another baseball field, but I think it is less narrow. I think it is less illegally narrow than Yankee Stadium.
Interesting.
I don't think we've got the bad vibes at City Field like we do at Yankee Stadium. All right. When is their stadium going to be built?
I think it's, 2 years, 2026, 2027. I think they still got a while.
I was thinking to myself, do I want to go see a game before they move? And I don't. I don't want to see a baseball game, a soccer game in a baseball stadium. I don't care. I don't want to do it.
I was going to look up when the...
They're in the cube. I know there's a giant cube. I know it's got an activation zone in the giant cube that you can walk through. And then I know that I think it's going to be right next to City Field. It's going to be in, I think it'll be in Flushing.
Yeah,
or not wherever. I think it's still Flushing. Sorry if there's any New York geography snobs in the chat.
Construction is scheduled to be completed in 2027. Honestly, like, you know, I think if I'm, I understand they probably won't do this. They'll probably still like split it between Yankee Stadium and City Field. Just go play. Like, does it really matter at this point? Just, you got the stadium. It's going to happen. Go play Red Bull Arena. Just play on a proper soccer field.
I think there's going to be some angry people. Good thing we don't have a lot of New York City FC fans listening to our
show. They could be angry, but I mean, at this point, put yourself on a proper soccer field and know that the biggest thing is if they did it without the stadium, then I'd say no, absolutely not. You don't want to do that. But now, like, we're heading towards a stadium, so.
But Ted, they've got to be they're the fan base that gets to yell, "We're the only actual New York team." Instead of this sham New Jersey team playing in Harrison. So that if they do that, they lose their moral superiority. And then who are they as a club?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Let's go ahead.
I've got a question in the chat about when do we get the drums back at home? 4 games. So let's see. 1, 2, 3.
Be Seattle.
Orlando would be the last game, and then Seattle. Mm-hmm. So the 27th. Buy your tickets now. The vibes will be probably pretty crazy. So I think that'll be a good game to go to.
Yeah. Be good. Let's. We've got some questions in the chat. We've got several from Richard Rolson. I'll get in.
Good old content generating Richard Rolson.
Yeah, from Twitter. So, do you think Connor Antley has earned continued starts at left back? I would say yes. I think he has.
Yep.
I think he has. The fact that he has stepped into that left back role, it does open up, I guess, a position out right. But, you know, and he could also play right back as well. I think he's earned that. I think he's earned that spot. I think it has changed the metrics a little bit on how I think about where this team should target for the summer. Before it was like, dear God, desperation, we need a left back. Now it's like, maybe not. Maybe we can let that ride for a little bit. Richard Wilson, do you think we'll see Jackson Hopkins rotating starts with Matty Pazzola going forward, or Saturday start just injury related? I mean, I already talked about this. Charlie Saint confirmed it was not injury related. It was performance related. So we'll see. We'll see what Orlando. I'll be curious to see. I think if the team steps out in a 4-2-3-1, be hard pressed to play Hopkins in that type of role. But
if you're a family member of Matty Peltola that potentially is our Patreon feed and wants to give us some inside information about what's been going on in the locker room, feel you know where to hit us in the DMs.
Yeah. And then Brandon Zebron says, where do you see hope this team upgrades in the summer? Left back seems obvious, but who do you take off for it? I mean, I think you gotta look at it's attack. We still have like 14 days left or 14, 15 days left in the transfer window. I don't think you'll see anything. I think
I'm gonna shave gaps in my eyebrows if we sign a major attacking player in the next 14 days.
Yeah, I think
don't clip.
I think
this. It's gonna don't clip this.
You're gonna wait. You're gonna wait for the summer window, because you're gonna have a lot more options. I think you got to look at those U22 slots. There's also going to be some big changes coming. The Board of Governors are meeting. It looks like there might be some more changes other than we already knew about the potential for the U22 slots being decoupled from what you have as a designated player. I think we could see more potentially coming in changes. So that'll be something to watch. What comes out of those Board of Governors meetings could impact things pretty heavily. Richard, last question from Richard says, do you think Hopkins is finding a position that better suits his skills and that will build an MLS career at least? I think number six is not where you want him. I think we talked about it. Number eight. I think if he can evolve into being a competent version of what we have in Mateus Click by the time Click leaves, whether that's this year or next year, then I think that will be incredible. And I think that better suits his skill set at this point.
What I want is him to be able to take minutes from Jared Stroud at right wing. I don't think that's going to happen. That's my fantasy about where he plays. It just does not appear to be. The end product is not there. It's just not. It may not be for him. Do I want him to have an MLS career? I do. I've talked about this 1,000 times. Being a Fredericksburg boy, I have to make sure that he gets an opportunity. I don't necessarily want his career to be Jared Jeffrey. And that I just don't think that's like the career arc I'd prefer for him.
And he's still, you know, he's still, I feel like he's
young. He's 22 years old.
No, he's 19 still.
Still? What? Is that young? He can't even drink.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
I'll have to make sure he's not hanging out in the bars.
Hold on. You might be right. I might be wrong. I thought I saw he was way.
No, I'm thinking I might be TKD's might be
19 years old. Yeah. He's still 19.
Young buck.
He's 2004.
Can't even rent a car.
So, I mean, he's still, I feel like he's a player who's been around and he's been talked up so much that we tend to like, he's still young. Like, I mean, look at what Tech QDP was not, and that's where like I sort of have recalibrated where, you know, where my line is on certain players. Tech QDP was not, you know, lighting things up until he turned 21. And that's when he got his first moments and got his opportunity. So
I still think Hopkins was damaged by the last 3 years, not playing consistently for anywhere. I think that was a big miss for his development.
And at the very least now he's a rotational player. So
I just love talking about him. I'm glad that he's a factor. That's really what I wanted to have.
You like him because he's from Fredericksburg.
And also I like the way he sounds. He's a big goofball. I love him. He's great.
All right. I want to get some, by the way, if you join our Patreon feed, you also get access to our Discord where we got a lot of fun things. 42 on Discord says, I know the match isn't for another month, but it's one I've been thinking about for a while, especially since they've been playing really, really well this season. Thoughts on how we should take on the Red Bulls? Similar playing styles. Both of us improved drastically over the offseason, but they have the ability to consistently finish in a way that we still have not mastered. I think if you want to talk about a season where maybe we might get some of that, you know, good old, you know, Red Bull DC magic, maybe the rivalry will make its ascendance back into the zeitgeist of MLS. Both teams improving, both teams seem to have a direction and a path forward. I think the biggest thing we've had in this rivalry for so long is that it's been so long since both these teams have been competitive and both these teams have been consistent and able to have, you know, meetings that matter. Really the last time, you know, the last match last year was like the last time I felt like a Red Bulls DC match mattered ever. And that was like a pivotal playoff game. I mean, that was a game if DC wins that, I think there's a chance they would have snuck into the playoffs that season. So, you know, it's it's certainly, I think, something to watch. I'll be very curious. I might start paying attention more to the Red Bulls. Apparently they've turned their pressing style into more of a possession based where they can sort of play both ways. I've seen signs of that from DC too. It's not as maybe sophisticated as the Red Bulls are, but you know, certainly something to watch.
It's just another way to say Troy plays Red Bull soccer by Red Bull changing the way they play into something that Troy wanted to play. Jesse says, why no minutes for Martin? He played a little as the number 10 and looked good last match. I think he's just not in the plans.
Yeah. I think they're giving him some looks when they need it, but I mean, I think they are trying to maybe get certain guys into the lineup, get them on the bench, so at least send a message to other teams like Colo-Colo, hey, he's still, you know, he can play.
They're alive.
He can play.
He's got legs.
He can play. You know, just you know, what do you want for him? So big summer coming up to see what they can do to shed some of that cap space. I think he is him, and obviously I think the bigger problem with Yaz is that Yaz still has a second year on his contract. So, yeah, not great.
Thanks, Sean Howe. Thanks, previous regime. This is an albatross. Oh well.
By the way,
Sean Howe now got a job at San Diego, the new MLS club. So congrats to him. I still am going to give him shit about this one because he was so confident about this move. So he owes me a beer or something at this point
for the angst it's caused.
Yep.
But hey, you know, hey, we found Connor Antley out of it, so maybe it'll be a good thing.
That's true. You know, every door is a window or something. Did you see the MLS Next Pro malarkey this weekend?
MLS Next. It was the academy. It's not Next Pro.
Yeah, the was it Dallas Cup? Was that where that was?
No. This was MLS Next. I think it was in Bradenton, Florida. It's like the old IMG Academy. Yeah, that's not great stuff going on for.
We got some racism. Mm-hmm. We got a fight with Flamingo
and accused racism from Flamingo. On, yeah, yeah, it's
cool. The Hajduk Split, I believe, from Croatia was one of the teams. Who was the other one? It wasn't the Flamingo thing happened the next day.
It was Monterrey. It was Monterrey's.
Monterrey. Just, you know, just great. Way to go, everybody. The upsetting thing about this was the Red Bulls Academy teams, 15 and 17, were the target in the Monterrey game. They asked basically, like, what are you going to do about this? This cannot happen. And then nothing happened. And like, fine, we're going home.
Yeah.
Screw this. We don't need this. So good, you know, as much as it pains this podcast to say it, good job, Red Bull. You did the right thing there. You're sort of leading by example here about what you should be doing in that situation. Just pathetic stuff. I hope they adjudicate it and they figure out next year some stricter penalties for that. The worst, I mean, this is not an MLS situation where racism, we're like, well, we didn't hear it. We don't know. The referee heard it. He said that happened and still nothing occurred.
So he sent off the players, I hope.
I meant subsequent.
Yeah. So the referee sent off probably, I would hope, would have sent off the players.
He did because he recognized the in a foreign language what was being said.
Yeah. That's important. So, that's important. I mean,
way to go. You and that Rosetta Stone referees just on the bad words so that you make sure you can catch those ones at least. Yeah.
You know, I guess my thought on it is it is certainly a shame because it's a shame for the MLS Next tournament as a whole, especially not saying this is at all the most important thing about it, but you know, I think MLS has done a excellent job at making this tournament not just a tournament between elite teams in the United States, but also elite teams around the world. And mm-hmm. when, you know, Philadelphia goes out and beats, you know, Flamengo, the Brazilian team, that makes waves around the youth world where they're like, you know, hey, you know, Philly's still producing good players. You know, they have the 14-year-old. What's his name? Sullivan, I think is his last name.
Kevin Sullivan, who's now been signed by Man City for $4 million.
And picked up assists on Lospex Pro. He's someone to watch, guys. He's going to be – you want to talk about potentially like, you know, I will be curious because, you know, I think he is – it seems like people are talking about him the same way people talked about like Freddie Adu. But Freddie
I was about to say Freddie
but
Adu.
But Freddie Adu got – thrusted into the spotlight like immediately, right. And now we get to kind of see what happens when there's an actual developmental plan, there's actual like movement where you can sort of say, hey, you know, you're going to kind of move your way up, you're not going to be thrown into your first game at 14 and expect greatness. You know, you get to kind of stay in the background a little bit.
I hate that it's Man City that he's going to. Like that, I mean, obviously from an asset perspective, it makes sense. They have so many places to put players, but from a personal player development perspective, not necessarily great. Jack Harrison was the first one that peaked from the United States. Obviously he's not an American player, but Zach Steffen was a Man City player, came there.
Zach Steffen, yeah.
Got like three or four opportunities, got farmed out. Now he's back in MLS.
Goalkeepers are always weird, man. It's tough. Sure. There's one spot. You got one spot you can play on a team, and then you're either that or on the bench. It's a weirder situation. I think the positive thing about it is that basically Philly signed him and he gets to play. I think at Philly, he's basically going to be at Philly
until he's 18.
And then there is, you know, if he is lighting it up, if he is playing extremely well, they can sort of exercise that a little bit earlier. I hope Philly gets some more money because of that. I hope that's sort of baked into the contract, that if he leaves early, they get a little more money. But you know, I think he is somebody I think you want to be watching if you are a fan of soccer. And I might actually tune into some like Philadelphia Union MLS Next Pro games just to kind of see like what he's like, because a lot of people have talked about how good he is. So
do you think he's going to be a dick now?
you hope there's somebody. You hope there's somebody keeping him a level head. I don't know if you had a chance.
But also,
I don't know if you listened to the late Grant Walls podcast on Freddie Adu, but there was a lot of that sort of the spotlight. I think he had a coach that, or a someone who was paid for by him, who got really on this under the skin of Kevin Payne, because he would like bring him across to practice and show him like, you know, Freddie Adu goals and be like, and there was a lot about sort of, you know, a lot about it. It's a really good podcast. I highly recommend you go listen to it. You know,
well, if he doesn't, if he is a dick, I will imagine that there's going to be some players that are going to kick him.
Oh yeah.
Think about all the 14 and 15 year old kids that are like, this guy plays for Man City. I'm gonna make an example of him. I'm gonna show him what's what. So to your point, it could be some exciting viewing there on the Apple TV, the season pass.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we talk Philly, so we're now a Philadelphia Union podcast.
That's right. That's right. We'll put them. That's gonna be a hashtag at the end of the podcast. Now it's gonna say dupe. For You could come listen to our podcast too.
All right. Let's shift gears a little bit. A little bit of Spirit news coming up. Riley Tanner announced today, just released. I think not.
I just asked about her this week. I was like, what about Riley? And they're like,
Yeah. Seems like maybe she knew it was coming. Maybe there's some, I think maybe there's a team out there that might, I think unfortunately, I think there was one person on the Discord who had bought a Riley Tanner jersey and
Whoa.
Just got it shipped and was like,
Whoa, that is wild. Who, I've got to check that out.
Yeah.
I want to read their name on the show. That's wild. I have a Panamanian friend who loves Riley Tanner for that reason, but. Wow. Are you sure? Is it in our Discord?
No, Discord? It's Carbine Cat on our.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Fine.
But it's on the DC Discord. But yeah, said he had bought literally showed the email where he had a shipped Riley Tanner jersey. So brutal for him.
Get a refund.
Be nice to the, I don't know. Be nice to the team. Was like, hey, well, you know, we'll get you. Who else do you want? Let's.
They should. I also think that the DC USL Super League team should take a look and make her make her an offer. I bet if she's been released, she's got something else in mind, and it probably is going to be NWSL tier or around that. But or maybe it's international. Who knows? But if not, if she's looking for a job, that'd be great.
I think this move from a Spirit perspective. I think obviously, I think that the signing of Lacey Santos probably pushed her down the death chart. I think also,
and she was already at the bottom.
And also, I think this maybe there's hintings at, you know, making some roster space available to potentially go out and make another move that, you know, essentially gives you two roster slots open, including, you know, not including obviously Lacey Santos not arriving till June. So it's three right now. It'll be two when she arrives. So one international still out there. So, you know, if you can finagle another international slot out of somebody who maybe isn't too keen, then maybe you can turn that into maybe a real upgrade for this team. So, yeah, I think there's roster happenings going on right now, I think, for the Spirit.
I hope that, by the way, that if you did listen to the Anna Helferty interview on Patreon last week, the Spirit are playing a behind closed doors match this week to give minutes to players who have not gotten an opportunity. So Hopefully that means Chloe Ricketts finally gets to play in a game and then actually be able to stay on the field. And hopefully Friday when they play in Houston, we get some action there. Remember, that game's going to be on Amazon Prime. So check that out on Friday night. If Ted and I are, I don't think this is going to happen. If we get 5 new Patreons this week at the $5 tier, Ted and I will do a live watch along. Or if Ted's not, I'll just do the live watch along on the Friday night game.
I can't do the Friday night game, but
you can. I will be doing it from Nashville, Tennessee in my hotel room. So five new Patreons will make it happen.
5 new Patreons at the $5 tier.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
And comment that you're doing this for spirits.
Solely to hear John talk to himself for 90 minutes watching a spirit
game. I can probably drop in at some point, but I've got plans. Sorry, that Friday evening.
I thought you just said you were going to become a $5 Patreon just to make this happen. Like, yeah, no, I want to see this. I want to see it.
All right, folks. I think that's going to do it. Thank you guys so much for listening again. Patreon.com/RFQRefugees. Definitely check us out over there, RFQRefugees.com. We still got the content we're putting up there. We're going to try to work to get it up both places, but definitely check out the Patreon site for that. Again, we appreciate all the supporters. You guys have really stepped it up this year. We really appreciate it. And we're going to keep it. It motivates us to keep delivering the content. So we're going to keep doing it. All right. I think that'll do it. We'll catch you guys next week. Vamos.
Vamos. Thank you for listening to RFK Refugees Podcast. Make sure you rate and review the show wherever you download podcasts. If you want to support the show, consider joining our Patreon or subscribing to our channel on Twitch. Lastly, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, Twitch, Goals.tv, Friendster, MySpace, and Tumblr. Some of those are even real. Vamos.